This semester on the Church 307 podcast, we're just going to meet some people, some real life people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. So sit back and hear some great stories.
Well, what's up, Church 307? Welcome back. This season on the Church 307 podcast, we are just listening to stories from new lifers who have experienced life change. So I hope that you have listened to all the episodes so far. I am standing in for Mike today, in case you noticed this is not Pastor Mike. This is someone else of ZJ. But I'm here with Misty Pakula today. I'm so glad that you're here, Misty.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for making the time. Mm-hmm. And because I'm not Mike, I have notes, so I'm going to cheat. But let's just jump right in. Is that all right with you?
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, can you give us the 1 minute version of the story of your life?
I think probably an important fact would be that my mother and father had me at a very young age.
Okay.
Mom was a sophomore, like 15. Mm-hmm. And dad just turned 16, but mm-hmm. and my dad was just 19. So okay. I had very, very young parents. Mm-hmm. I can remember my mother's 21st birthday.
Wow.
So with that being said, young parents, and they did the best they could, and they got a divorce after about 7 years. They always loved me, and we did fine. But otherwise, we grew up in the church. I'm mm-hmm. grateful for that. Yeah. Always, I have memories of going to summer school, vacation Bible school, grew up Lutheran. So mm-hmm. I went to confirmation and checked that off my list that I got that done, not really understanding what I actually did. Mm-hmm. And I was always a leader at youth group, trying to be a good person, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of thing as far as like church-wise. And then went to college, and sometimes in college, you don't always go to church like you should.
Sure, yeah.
And had to experiment with a few things with mm-hmm. some alcohol that I knew it was not anything I wanted mm-hmm. to be a part of. So that was mm-hmm. short lived. But for the most part, I have always just had, Jesus has always been a part mm-hmm. of my life, and I'm very grateful for the foundation that my young parents and my grandparents instilled along at young age. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is.
That's awesome. It's so cool to me. It's something I've heard in a lot of people's stories, is even people who had maybe tumultuous childhood, or, you know, their parents made mistakes, but that being in church, being in a community mm-hmm. of faith makes such a big difference. Mm-hmm. I think that's just an encouragement for any parent.
Definitely. Like,
we all mess up.
Well, and it's, I feel very strong than just about abortion, because being young parents,
sure.
that could have been something they talked about. My mother said it never once was mm-hmm. even something we would consider, because it was a time period when it was hard. It was not, it was very shameful. They did mm-hmm. not get to get married in the church. They went down, and it was like, very much a hidden thing and a disgrace. Mm-hmm. She had to quit school, and therefore she didn't get to do all the things. So that time frame also just mm-hmm. means a lot to me. Like, I am that baby.
Sure.
I am that baby that got that second chance, and that they loved, and that God loved from the beginning and knew had that purpose. But sometimes that's kind of tough to be that baby.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a powerful story. I mean, man, gosh, that's awesome. Well, you said that you kind of always grew up in church. Mm-hmm. But do you have a memory of what life was like before Christ, or before you fully surrendered to Christ?
Oh, like I said, I've always been, been active and that, but there was a point in my young adult life where it was kind of like, wait a minute, what were those classes I did? Even though I was in the pageant every year for the Christmas pageant, and I did all these things and I knew the stories, I didn't really fully understand what confirmation was. So in my, shortly after my last year of college, and I had been dating my husband all through college then, and just kind of seeking, I actually was at an Easter service at Fred and Terry's church. Mm-hmm. And they were of course married, and we went there, and it was just one of these services where I knew I needed more. I need to make sure I'm all in. I don't want any question in my heart that where I belong. So that was something I decided I want more. And at that moment was the day I said, I am totally committed. I will not drink anymore. I want to be obedient, and I'm drinking like
Sure.
Like indulging, but yes.
Sure, yeah.
So that was kind of a life-changing time. And then we got married shortly, like that next summer. And then that October, I wanted more. I always want more. I want more. I want more.
Sure,
so we were going to a Church of Christ, which was just a different church in Belfouche. And I should say I was going, Trent would go occasionally, but he wasn't. And I decided I wanted to be baptized. And we went down to the Belfouche River on October 28th.
Oh, wow.
And it was cold. And I knew it was important. And I wanted to be obedient. And so that was, you know, from there on out, just that baptism. And then just having a family, starting to have a family, that was something we always wanted for our kids. So, so not a huge, I know it's not a huge testimony, that part, as far as like, but it's just my story that he's just always been there, just not as clear.
Yeah.
As clear as what it was when I finally really understood that confirmation was more than, the Wednesday night classes are done.
You know, over. Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I hear people a lot say stuff like, well, I don't have much of a testimony, you know, and what they mean is like, I didn't do cocaine or, you know what I mean? Like I didn't go crazy.
Well,
I wasn't,
I didn't, didn't want to,
but one of the things I always think whenever I hear somebody say something like, well, I don't have much of a testimony, is I think, I hope my son has your testimony. You know, like I hope my son grows up and I hope he has a moment where he goes all in. But, you know, I hope his story of transformation like yours is that God progressively got a hold of his heart over time, and that he didn't make, you know, even mistakes that I made.
Yeah.
That's a powerful testimony, too. And I think it's a powerful testimony, especially for parents, to think like that's, you know, it's possible to have your kids grow up. And, you know, if they go off the deep end, to be restored and be forgiven, but also to like a life is possible without having all of those regrets.
It is. And raising our kids, you know, in the beginning, Trent wasn't really all in. We kind of joke in our life groups when we're talking, he's like, I'm the guy that got up and got helped get the baby ready and sent her off to church and went back to bed until he had his day where he was like, what am I doing? What's it? He called it when he's a coach. What's important now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he changed. And then he played church for 8 years. But having the boys, took them to church every Sunday, and it gives them that foundation. Like it has never been a question in our house Sunday morning what we're doing.
Sure.
They just get up and go. I mean, not even as adult children, I'm just so grateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I truly believe you raise your kids in church, you're going to have troubles. You will have trouble. It will not always be easy.
Yeah.
Just right from the start. That was for our situation. You plant those seeds and God has their heart. And that whole surrender piece. Did that more than once.
Yeah.
And really probably didn't mean it most of the time when I would say they're yours. They're yours, Lord.
Yeah.
They're yours. I'm trusting you. Thank you for trusting me with your babies. But
That's something you got to say it until you mean it. You know, you got to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, one of the things I was hearing as you were sharing your story, Mike and I have been talking about this a lot, is that a really important part, I think, in most of our stories with Christ, is there's a moment where we went from experiencing or knowing or having moments with Jesus to deciding to take action on it, you know, to actually decide to say, okay, well, I'm not just going to show up at church again and get another, you know, hear another sermon or have another experience, but I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start taking this seriously and taking action based on what I believe. And that's what I heard when you were describing that that moment, that Easter service, where it was, no, I'm not just going to show up anymore, but now I'm taking responsibility for my
part. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted him to know this is different today. It's different today because of yesterday and because of what you have done for me on the cross. And gratitude. I love to journal, and my gratitude journal is, I've done a couple of them and they're powerful too.
Yeah.
Super powerful. So grateful.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, has there ever been a time in your life with Christ that you've had doubts about his love for you, or just been through, you know, kind of the dark night of the soul, to use the old Christian term?
Oh, I would say Satan messes with my head every now and again with self-worth. That and just my parents had their own dreams and goals, and they would never want to hurt me. But they have mentioned a few things they mm-hmm. haven't been able to do because.
Oh, sure.
So the word for me that I often feel is I'm inconvenient, like it was not very, you know, and I know that's not coming from their heart, even mm-hmm. though sometimes their words reflected that. Mm-hmm. I know Satan will sometimes say,
sure.
You're in the way. You distracted. Mm-hmm. You are not enough. So I often have to go back and say, there's a purpose for me, and I have a story here, mm-hmm. and it's going to be strong because I have Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
But that is something that sometimes comes mm-hmm. up, just going back to that other. All three of my boy, I have three boys, mm-hmm. and all three of them are intensive care babies. Nothing okay. was easy in the beginning.
Sure.
So particularly, like I said, they all have their own little story, but my middle one, it got to a point where he was in the hospital for over a month, but there was a day where they said he has staph infection. He's had staph infection. We were living in a camper in the church park, in the hospital parking lot, excuse me.
Wow.
Just trying to nurse and just trying to help this little baby survive. It was summertime and we had a three-year-old and it was in and out. And then they brought us in and said, we think that he has, my goodness, what was it? Meningitis, spina bifida, excuse me.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're like, what does that mean? And the doctor said, we're not going to talk about that right now, but we're testing and that's where we're at. And so we went to the camper and we put the three-year-old between us and we sat there and we cried because we Googled it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was low. But then that particular night, a hailstorm came through. We were in Belfouche, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Hailstorm came through. We did not know it at the time, but our house was completely total.
Gosh.
Our cars were totaled completely. And the time we got there the next day at 11 in the morning, we had to go see what the damage was at our house. We had lost everything. But before we left, they told us the test was negative.
Oh, wow.
And so my mom called and she's like, how are you doing? I'm like, Mom, praise the Lord. It's all good. She's like, what do you mean? Praise the Lord. You just lost your house, your car. Like your baby's not like, it doesn't matter. God's going to say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And in the midst of the storm, where I would know that was a breaking point where I could have just like, I can't take any more, Lord, I can't do another thing. Mm-hmm. He said, I got you. And what's really is important, the stuff, my baby.
Yeah.
And so, that was kind of a low point.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially fragile mom where you're just like,
yeah. Oh, what a powerful affirmation of, you know, God saying you're not an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. I notice you. You're not, you know, that he protected you from that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it would have been that the last thing that you can't take.
No. Yeah. And my husband was angry. Like his nature is to get very angry and mad. And wow, this, and I just like, it's going to be okay. You know, I don't know. And sometimes I actually feel guilty for that. Mm-hmm. Like I am a very sensitive person and we can watch a movie and I won't cry, but sometimes I feel in situations where I should maybe be crying. I almost feel guilty because I'm like not insensitive. I just have that much faith and trust to know that it's his.
Yeah.
My youngest son had an infection in his shoulder, sent us to the children's hospital. Like you go, now we think he has a tumor. And we called our life group first and before I called my parents and said, we're going to Denver, our life group came, we prayed over Jackson and got in the car. And at this point, I didn't know my husband was as tender as he was, but you know, I just slept. I'm just like, we'll get there. God's got us. And then after everything, we found out it wasn't like he was able to say, I was a wreck. I cried when I was driving the whole way down. You slept. And it's not that I didn't care, but I just was that confident. And sometimes it comes across as looking like you're insensitive. I just know either like my God has it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's confidence and that's trust, you know, in the Lord. That's beautiful. And it seems like that's trust that you've seen over time.
Well, if we don't, then what's the other, I mean, why? Those are not spirit, you know,
sure.
I waste a minute.
Yeah. One of my mentors and friends, was telling me a while back, he had went through a very hard time with one of his sons. And he said after it, and it was his son and work and all this stuff had piled up. And he said, he felt like after it, he was praying and he felt like the Lord said, this would have been hard no matter what, but it wouldn't have been quite as hard if you would have trusted me in the middle of it. You know, it might have still been traumatic, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't have been as traumatic.
No,
you
know? Exactly.
I did have it. You know, I was taking care of you. Yeah,
I like that.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. So you've already alluded to this a little bit. How has church, community, life group, whatever, how has that impacted your faith journey?
Well, when we've been in Gillette now 11 years. Mm-hmm. And so we did a little bit of church hopping, and truly I'm pretty happy anywhere we go, but my mm-hmm. husband really and my children really liked it here. Mm-hmm. So we did kind of a couple, but for the most part, life group, our mm-hmm. new life was where we needed to be. We knew right away. And we shortly after we're here, we were trying to figure out, it was a year or two life groups had started, mm-hmm. and we have been in them ever since.
Wow.
And like I said, that particular day when mm-hmm. we needed prayer now, we needed mm-hmm. something. We called our life group and they came and we prayed over my son right there. Mm. Our life groups, we've been a part of life groups. We've led a lot of life groups. Mm-hmm. We were in a life group with very, very good friends where we're actually a life group where we lost our friend. Mm. And there's, to be a life group is one thing, but to sit there every Sunday night mm-hmm. and then to watch someone get sick mm-hmm. And when we lost Jason, it was devastating. It mm-hmm. was in COVID.
Yeah.
And he had been in a coma and he was in Casper. So we were going to go. We were going to mm-hmm. road trip it Sunday night. Forget the road life group. We're going to mm-hmm. road trip it. But we couldn't all see him, just mm-hmm. one a day.
Yeah.
So we got to FaceTime him mm-hmm. that night and he laughed and he was Jason and mm-hmm. He passed the next day.
Wow.
And according to Teresa, we were like the last ones to really mm. talk to him. And we love him, miss him so much, and her, and the fact that life group is not just a Sunday meeting. Mm-hmm. It is life. It is doing life together. It is, you know, the weddings, the babies, no one wants to say a funeral, but we did a funeral and because we, you know, that's what God gave us. So, life groups are so important. Trent and I have led for a long time also. Mm-hmm. This last semester, we just took one semester off just to kind of breathe a little bit and see what was going on. And we missed it so much. Mm-hmm. So we're back into a new life group, couples.
Yeah.
And then I'm in a life group of women mm-hmm. and kind of a cool story there. Terry was the leader. My sister-in-law was my mom's special girl. And our numbers were filling up mm-hmm. and I was doing my Saturday study just kind of by myself. And God was saying, why are you not leading a group? Like, you should be leading a group. And I'm just like, Terry's got the group under control, Lord. I don't have to worry about this. And then she called me literally 5 minutes later and she's like, we can't turn people down. I think God's telling me we need to open it. And I said, well, God just told me I need to like be a life group leader. And she goes, are you kidding me?
Wow.
And like literally in the same 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so then we just kind of talked about how we could, and Michaela had been mm-hmm. seeking. So mm-hmm. now we've got a nice large life group and super excited.
Yeah.
If you aren't in a life group, you need a life group. We mm-hmm. need our people.
Absolutely.
You need your tribe. And with the confidence of being a life group leader, it's kind of spilled into my daily life. Mm-hmm. I work at two elementary schools as a library media specialist, mm-hmm. fancy word for librarian. And because of life groups, I've started, I would say, help me build my courage up mm-hmm. and give me confidence mm-hmm. that I can do these things. We pray in our libraries every Monday at one school and Friday mm-hmm. at the other.
Wow.
And they come, mm-hmm. people come. And I always just say, Lord, whoever needs to come today.
Yeah.
And they keep coming back. In the beginning, it was for our secretary had cancer and she mm-hmm. asked for prayer. And we're like, if she's asking, we're going to do this.
Sure.
And then it was like, we're not stopping. We mm-hmm. are going to continue. And we've been praying now for a couple of years. Mm. And I think that I think our life group helped
absolutely
build that confidence and courage to do that.
Yeah.
And to fellowship. It's like we need to get to class now. Like, but I think people come and they just want to sit and some share and a lot mm-hmm. don't, mm-hmm. but God will meet them where they're at.
Absolutely.
And I cannot believe that I have the courage to do that.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I want to just take that section of what you just said and use it. Like, I want to teach life groups from what you just said. There's so much in there that I want as the discipleship pastor, I want people to get that you have to have your people, and that,
yeah,
and that it's life. It's not just when you're in a life group, it's going to make things more complicated because you're going to have to grieve with someone that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
You're going to have to celebrate with someone when you're grieving,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to have to grieve with you when they're celebrating. Yeah. Like, it complicates everything.
It does.
You know, but in the most meaningful way, you know, it's worth the complication because when you're grieving, they are there with you. When you're celebrating, they're yes. there with you, and vice versa.
And friends forever. I mean, again, mm-hmm. it's their life groups for yep. a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talking about then that giving you the courage to lead prayer yeah. in the schools. I mean, I don't remember who I was talking with this about, but it was yesterday that we were talking about how essential to life groups is that life groups should lead out, you know, they shouldn't just be places where mm-hmm. I go and get what I need and what I need stays there. They don't become a club, you yeah. know, but they become fuel for me to then give that community away. So you're giving what is kind of like a little life group.
Essentially, it yeah. is true. And I want you to, I'm not the one that leads every single sure. time, because God has put on the heart of some other
mm-hmm. yeah.
women that so we can share that.
And that's awesome.
But also that's building up some of young mm-hmm. and some of the older, like generations coming together.
Yeah.
And then people coming for prayer requests that mm-hmm. you're just kind of like, sometimes they just come when they need to. It doesn't matter yeah. when they come. Last week in the library, I was the only one there. Mm-hmm. Melody, who had been mm-hmm. coming, and she changed jobs mm-hmm. too, or leading, and mm-hmm. she had changed jobs. And I was sat there by myself, and I'm like, this is it. This is going to be the end of life, the end of the prayer group.
Mm-hmm.
And I just prayed that, Lord, just bring someone mm-hmm. through those doors. And it was like 10 minutes later, and the door flew open, and someone said, am I late? And I'm like, you are right on time.
Yeah, wow.
Because I just needed that one. And wow. then this week was back to 7.
Yeah,
so
man.
At one school, it's pretty much between about 20 people that wow. come every day, almost every mm-hmm. week.
Wow, that's awesome. This was a charismatic church. I get a flag and wave it with what you just said. I mean, that's awesome. That's man. That's,
well, and it's a public school. We always yeah. say, thank you, Lord, for letting us fellowship here in a public mm-hmm. setting. And the kids will hear, they'll say, we're praying in the library. We're gathering in the library. We're praying mm-hmm. in the library. And some kids will say, can we come? You know, we're like, well, we aren't saying you can't come, but
sure. But yeah.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so cool. And once again, you've hit on this a little bit, but is there a specific person that you can think of in your journey that had kind of an outsized impact on your life?
I have to say my sister-in-law, Terry. Mm. I mean, from the beginning, she's the OG Mrs. Pakula. She's reminding yeah. me of that. But, you know, when what Trent and I were just dating, mm-hmm. they were very strong on their faith then mm-hmm. and that particular Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on out, she's been very
mm-hmm.
inspirational to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just crazy how God works, because we all lived in different cities
mm-hmm.
and we all of a sudden were called to come to Gillette
mm-hmm.
and we happened to call them, and I'm like, I'm filling an application to Gillette. And she goes, so am I.
Oh gosh.
And so that particular summer, Trent's one brother lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Fred and Terry moved here. We moved here, and Trent's sister from Belle Fouche, none of it planned
yeah. wow.
to be together. And then her cancer came shortly after that.
Mm.
So I never wanted to live a day in Gillette. Mm-hmm. And now I think I should have came sooner, but yeah. God called us here together mm-hmm. to be with her when she got wow. her cancer. So she's there for me, and I mm-hmm. hope I was there for her, but
yeah.
She's one person. There are many people. My husband is a great, great mm-hmm. man. He's my best friend mm-hmm. and we've come a long way in the beginning, but mm-hmm. when he decided to, you know, he's a little more shy than his brother, but it's okay to be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's my best friend in that. And
oh, that's awesome.
And there's just a lot of great people.
Yeah.
You know, at both schools and
yeah.
church.
That's cool.
So. Let me in my life group.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I couldn't. Yeah. My life group.
Yeah. Awesome.
They're my people.
I love it. That's so good. Well, one last question for you. If there was one lesson that you've learned or truth about God that you wish everybody knew, what would it be?
Okay. I can't make this up, but last night, I knew that question was going to be mm-hmm. coming. And I'm like, okay, there's so much that I need sure. them to know. Yeah. I need anyone to know.
Yeah.
But I wanted a verse. I'm like, Lord, I want a verse. Give me a verse. Or, and so John 16:33 came to mind.
Okay.
That I have told you to have peace because in this world we have trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But take heart because I have overcome this world. I love that verse because it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And even though it's, you know, my testimony mm-hmm. is just different. It's my testimony and my story. And as messy as it was at times, I know it's going to be okay. And he has already won. So I was so excited about that verse last night. I'm like, okay, that was the first one came to mind. And then I'm looking for some more. And then I'm like, I shut my book. I'm like, I don't know. I said, I will meet you in the morning, Lord, like we always do. And you will tell me, you're going to tell me what verse I need to have. If you have the YouVersion Bible, today's app verse of the day was the verse he gave me last night. The verse, John 16:33. I cannot tell you how it was the jaw stopping, like dropping, like, Lord, I will share your verse and that you are the hope. You are the faith. You are the everything. And then I went on to read. And the second part was tell your story to someone. Share it. Don't be afraid. And I'm like, okay. I'm like literally looking around going, wow. I hear you. You know, when you just want to hear God and we are so busy. He never talks to me. He never parts my seat. He never does as he does.
Yep.
Just stop and listen and pay attention. But there's a lot of verses in the Bible that he gave me, the same one the night before and the morning.
Yep.
I can't make that up.
Absolutely. Wow.
I called my husband. He's out of town. Right? I called him first thing. Can you believe this? He's like, okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow.
So I didn't plan on sharing the whole reason for my verse, but he's so good.
Absolutely.
And I needed him to help me through this.
Amen. Amen. Well, Misty, that was awesome. Thank you so much for telling your story, for answering the questions. And I am personally just stoked that our people get to hear your story.
Thank you. I'm just glad to have some time with you. Get to know you a little better. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Church 307, hope that you took away as much from this conversation as I did. And we'll see you next time.